irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, August 1st. Believe it or not, the first day of August, I guess. That's the main thing about today. I'm joined in the studio by Tori Shulman. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
She's trying on her sexy voice.
It's working great.
Yeah. Huh?
It's going great.
So far, so good. So thank you for joining us this morning.
Absolutely.
And we have a guest sitting here, and we'll be joined by her in just a minute. It's going to be an exciting show. And nice to have you here, Tori. Tell us a little bit about you. Are you from L.A. or did you move here?
I was born and raised in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Right by the White House.
Really?
Yes,
wow.
Very important person.
Yeah?
Yes.
Was your family political in any way?
Yes, my father...
Is it sort of like a prerequisite to live there?
Yeah, you have to show up with a... Like, you're born out of the womb with a constitution.
I see.
My dad is an attorney, very important attorney. And my mom is a docent at the National Gallery of Art.
Wow.
The Smithsonian. So I grew up with a right brain and a left brain, and now I got Tori.
Yeah, you did. You did grow up. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a well-to-do family. I mean, educated and everything, right?
Very much. Yeah, I grew up, and if I had a report due on a senator, I was at least expected to attempt to have made an interview with that senator.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We went to go see a Supreme Court justice case. We got to meet Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Uh-huh.
It was great. I had a huge paper on the Iran-Contra affair, and through my father, just interviewed Oliver North. And I was like, this is fabulous.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
I did feel super cool on that one.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. He was terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Good source material. But
yeah.
But then I moved out here. I went to University of Michigan, and I studied art history, and I lived in Italy for a year. Art history really prepares you for nothing, which is great.
Really?
But, well, there's not a lot of jobs. They're like, if you have
that. That's true, but it is interesting.
It's wonderful,
right?
For the brain. It does not do well for the pockets. But,
yeah,
you know.
I know. I only took one class in college, part of the general ed or whatever they call it, right? No, the what they call it in college, they call it electives or something?
Yeah, sure.
No, whatever. I totally am spacing out on this. But at any... But at any rate, I took a course in art history, and it was amazing. I mean, it really exposed me to a lot of things I didn't realize about paintings and sculptures and things like that. So I started going to museums and really seeing it in a whole new light.
Wow, you can pick up great chicks at a
museum.
Yeah.
Oh, can you?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, thanks for
smart
the tip.
Women.
Thanks for the tip.
Anytime.
Yeah. Have you been to any of the museums here?
Yeah, I've been to the LACMA, the Broad. Well, the Broad takes forever to wait in line, but I waited in line. My mom gets in for free, and she's in a wheelchair, so we get, like, special ramps.
Wow,
and, like,
yeah,
cool.
Like,
oh,
front of the line thing. Wow.
And we look very important.
Yeah.
And then, but she's very cool. When she is with the kids, she's in a wheelchair, so she's at the height of a child.
Mm-hmm.
So she's seeing the painting the way a fifth grader seeing it, which is very different in perspective.
I guess
so.
That's true.
It's very true. So, you know, if you're seeing Daniel with the lions look a lot bigger if you're, you know, a fifth grader.
She's
so
shorter,
she
right?
has them lay down. She looks up at the architecture. She's one of those weird, kooky, cool teachers. She's rad. She's rad.
Is that what she's been into all her life, really?
Yeah, she grew up in Boston, and she went and met my dad. He was at Harvard Law, and she became a teacher in the inner city of Boston. She's just a really, she's one of those like Michelle Pfeiffer, less sexy and dangerous minds. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And then she got really, really ill, and they couldn't figure it out, and they kept saying she's making it up, and she has housewife's disease.
Wow.
She had like 3 back surgeries, nothing was working, and when she was pregnant with me, they diagnosed her with Gaucher's disease, which is a very prevalent disease in Ashkenazi Jews.
Wow.
And they thought I was not going to make it. So my name is Victoria because I was a victory.
Yes, you were.
Hello, holla.
Wow. More than a victory. I mean, a gift, everything.
Yes,
you
very
know,
cool.
You could have gotten a million names.
I know. It could have been Ethel. It could have been Ethel.
Not being Jewish, I don't think so.
No.
I don't know Jewish Ethel, no, but maybe no. there are. I don't
Victoria,
know.
Jewish Victorias are weird, too.
That's true, right?
Very
yeah,
rare.
Victoria is not a very Jewish name, no. but regardless. So do you have any siblings?
I have a sister named Catherine Arwen, uh-huh. named after the Lord of the Rings character. So
really?
We're just a real great family.
An interesting one, a colorful one
Very
at that.
True.
Yeah.
She was named Catherine after Catherine Graham, who ran the Washington Post.
Really?
Yes. Nerd wow. alert.
Nerd alert. Wow. So this is cool. Well, so and what brought you out to L.A.?
I've always just wanted to... act and be in entertainment since I was born. So I first went to New York and I realized I could do well but not make a lot of money. And I really love boats and lobster.
Yeah.
So my goal is to really, I really want to do well. So I moved to LA where, you know, the TV is and I started hosting at Reels Channel. I was a critic at ABC at the movies. And then I did MSN.com and watched, I created Last Night on TV where I recapped stuff that was happening on TV.
Right.
But I'd have to go in at midnight after the TV, tape it, edit it, and leave at like 2:30 in the morning.
Really?
So for like 5 years, I was a little vampire for a little while. And then now I'm the pop culture correspondent at Fox LA.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what do you cover for them? Like pop culture, what does that mean?
Well, what's interesting right now is I'm asked to bring in a lot of during the political situations because Donald Trump itself is sort of like a pop culture show.
Duh, yeah.
So I debate against GOP,
true, right?
GOP strategists, and they try and they think I'm this blonde pop culture, you know, beautiful. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not at all. But yeah, and I take him down. I'm, you know, born and raised in D.C. I know my politics, and I can take it with the best of them. So it's really fun, but it is sort of like... I really feel like I'm watching a reality show and at some time Ashton Kutcher is going to come out and be like, we punked you. Like, Donald Trump is not running. Like, I still think it's a joke.
Yeah. I know. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
It'd be
joke
a great
might,
episode, though.
Might actually come true. So we'll see what that does to
exactly.
us. But that's for another show altogether, folks. your family's still back east?
Yes. They want me to have children. I'm like 34 and they're like, TikTok, TikTok. They're
yeah.
Jewish
the,
parents.
So the pressure is
oh my
is,
God.
In full.
And I'm just like, ugh, kids are so sticky. No, I really yeah. do like kids. Yeah. I do want them at some point.
But don't do it for the
I
wrong
can.
Reasons,
I
you
can.
Know? Don't do it for the wrong
I just,
reasons.
Exactly.
You know, I got married twice for the wrong reasons, and I'm divorced twice.
There
so
you
there you go, you know?
Lesson learned.
So the thing is, you got to do it for the right reasons. Do it for you.
I would literally be doing it for my mother right now, and I love
right.
I cannot do that.
No, you'd be resentful if
Correct.
You did.
Correct. You know, my husband and I, we need to get to the next stable level, and then... get a boat and we'll have kids. We
there you go. And a lot of lobster, yeah. There you go. So before we get to our guest, I just wanted to bring up this thing. Did you hear about the hot air balloon that exploded
God, yes.
in Texas? Is that something or what? I mean, 16 people died.
No one survived.
No one survived. You know, how could you survive something like that?
I know. It was like a fiery crash, too.
Right, yeah. And they're saying it hit power lines. But they're not sure if the explosion happened before or after.
It's just dreadful. I went in a hot yeah. air balloon and got very nauseous from the altitude.
Yeah.
Also, it's very slow.
Yeah, huh?
And you're just a little bit higher.
Yeah, if you want some action. Yeah.
I was like, okay, we're good here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just a terrible. But people love it. In
yeah,
New
right.
Mexico, there's a whole balloon festival. And
I know.
It's just so dangerous.
But, I mean, for me, it's hard to stay on something with wings. Imagine something without wings.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is that I always tell stories from when I used to, when I took flying lessons, and I was totally into it and stuff. And now I'm kind of getting scared to fly, you
oh,
know?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And yeah, it's funny because it was... I got to bring this up to you really quick, but I flew... I had to fly up to Sacramento about a month ago, and I thought, you know... one thing I've never done before is eat an edible.
Oh, there you go.
You know
go.
What an edible is?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm from West
For those
Hollywood,
of you who don't know, it's like cannabis or marijuana, as you would say. And so I took like a little bit, but I'd never done this before. Now,
right,
these can
good.
Be very yeah. strong.
Very.
Right?
You don't know how much is in each
So
thing.
I'm getting on a plane. Right. Do you know how paranoid
There's something on the wing.
I was so freaking paranoid. I mean, the turbulence and everything is scary as it is.
It is. When they drop in your stomach.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I never got paranoid from this stuff. Never.
When you eat it, though, that's why I don't do edibles. Like, right. I don't know how much is in that.
Yeah. No, I did. I fully knew how much there was in it.
It's terrifying.
And I did it anyway. And I'm
I
like,
always think, like, the plane, when it lands and you go really fast into
right,
the,
and then
I always
they
think
stop
we're gonna go,
it, right?
I feel like we're going to go right off the runway.
Exactly, yeah. Right? You feel like... Okay, the moment he puts his jet engines in reverse,
yeah.
You feel like the plane's just going to like lose
completely
control, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like turn right or left or something, start spinning.
Yeah, if I were high, I would lose it.
Yeah.
I would lose it.
Well, that's the thing. So I was more than high. I was just very anxious. And I mean, imagine I was even thinking the moment I land... Coming back, I'm going to take a car. I don't care. It's 10 hours.
You're
I'm taking a car
home.
Back. But you know what? Going back, I knew better, so yeah. It worked out okay.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine to you the terror I felt.
No, Xanax and red wine is real nice. That's a much
yeah, right?
better trick to do. Because, I get a little anxious, too. I get anxious to so many people.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. Too many people.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty in the news, but we're not going to go over that today. So we're going to bring in our guest. We have Lucy Butler in the studio.
Woo-hoo! Hi.
Lucy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Of course. And you were brought in by Sherry. Sherry's a friend of the show.
Yeah.
And she always brings in great people and stuff. How are you this morning?
I
never
great.
Asked that of guests,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why. I had to ask you, how are you doing this
great.
Morning?
Great. I saw the most amazing show last night.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, it's the chorus line at the Hollywood Bowl. Oh. It was so...
One singular sensation. I'm in it.
Nobody sang that well. Nobody sang that well.
I appreciate it.
Wow. So, wow, and what was that like? I mean, the Hollywood Bowl is an experience all by itself, but... So it was good?
It was extraordinary. And the thing is, I've seen a lot of shows at the Hollywood Bowl, and sometimes the musicals don't translate. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes too many sets, too many costumes, blah, blah, blah. But a chorus line is so simple. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a line of dancers mm-hmm. with the mirrors, and you could have heard a pin drop. It's you know how usually people are drinking wine and they're talking and blah blah blah.
And so
my
much
neighbor.
Cheese usually at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh my god! And the bread.
Oh, the bread! But everyone was silent. That's so great.
I know it was. There was no chewing.
Love it.
Yeah, no,
love
it was it. Unbelievable. And you, and people were really listening and you know usually when you're there you're sort of talking and blah 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 and people were moved and you could feel that they were moved. It was so
wow.
cool. Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah. So is that like repeating there or was that just a one night thing?
I think it was three nights, but this was the last night. So sorry.
Okay. too
late,
bad.
Everyone.
Whoa.
Darn, what am I going to do? I missed the theater. But no, I mean, do you like theater? Do you do you go a lot?
I love theater.
Really?
I love theater, but I have to tell a personal secret.
Mm. Uh-huh.
If I don't love the show, sometimes I leave a tiny bit early.
Done.
I'm so sorry.
I'm
so sorry. Yeah. Except when I have a friend in it. And then if your friend's in it it's opera and it's 5 hours, you need to sit there.
You need to stay, right?
You absolutely need to stay.
As a stand-up comic, you got to go do your thing, but you got to stay for the rest of it. You cannot
yes, you
check out. It's rude.
Very bad protocol.
That's
yeah.
Very bad.
That's
but correct. If I don't know anybody in it, mm-hmm.
bye.
Mm-hmm.
Choo-choo,
yeah.
Cheese, I'm out.
Yeah. That's true, though. I mean, that's definitely an etiquette that probably
yeah.
developed over the years, right? Have you been in L.A. for many years?
Yeah,
I mean,
I've
were
been
you
in
born
LA.
Here?
No, I was actually born in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
And I'm actually a sixth generation Californian. Woohoo!
I read about this. Your ancestor, what was this?
Oh, yeah.
This was fascinating to me.
Warren Upson.
The youngest pony
youngest
express
rider. Pony Express. But come to find out, they've got to be young because nobody else is that crazy to do that.
Oh, wow.
They were sort of like jockeys. They need to be young and tiny.
Right, right. Small, right?
You can't have some guy with a family going, I have a good idea. Let's like ride across country with no help.
Taft would be terrible at pony riding. Heavy.
Very cool. So you grew up in the Bay Area.
I grew up in the Bay Area.
What was that like for you?
Well, you know, honestly, everybody from San Francisco, don't listen, please. It's a tiny city. It's
yes.
750,000 people. And so you're constantly running into people you were in Girl Scouts in.
Really?
Which is sometimes super fun. And sometimes like, wow. Why are you still in this market? Like, didn't you ever leave? And like,
this ex-boyfriend is still working at
Starbucks. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's still an amazing city. It's just very, very, very small. And then when I was young, my parents went into the Peace Corps in Southeast Asia. And so we left and and we lived in Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, wow. What a place to live in, huh? How many years were you there?
We were there 3 years, and it was those Camelot years, you know, when Kennedy had just come out, and we were super young. And so everybody was like, life is great, and
optimistic.
The world is new, and we're going to change the world. And yeah. As my dad said, it probably didn't hurt anybody and did a lot for me.
Yeah, right?
That's true. Kennedy came up with the Peace Corps idea, they say, at Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, really?
There's a plaque. I don't know if that plaque is real. But he supposedly came up with it with a group of student Wolverines at, like, midnight one night.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, wow. So, very interesting. And so then you came back. Did you move back to the Bay Area?
Yeah, and of course I was a complete idiot because I didn't know how to dress. I'd been in Southeast Asia for 3 years.
Oh, my God.
We had no television. We had no milk. I didn't know what to talk about. And finally, my next-door neighbor came to me and she said, you're wearing your shorts way too long.
California.
What was the traditional, like, dress there?
Well, I was always in a uniform because I was at a, you know, sort of an orphanage school. It's a Catholic school. And I was the only, like, to be honest, the only kid who was white in my entire grade.
Wow.
So I was, like, totally trying to fit in.
Yeah,
already,
right?
I was like, oh, my God, right?
Oh, my God, wow.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
That's tough. So, I mean, it would be for anybody, you know? I mean, it's just like you feel left out or kind of standing out or something.
Totally.
So... Wow, that's quite an experience. So was it in a way traumatic for you? I mean, did you feel lonely or
really, really,
detached?
Really lonely and really detached? And so what I did is I just started reading constantly. I would read like as many books as I could a week.
Wow.
But then as I got more and more used to it, you know, I learned pidgin English, which is just like Hawaii. There's like a whole, I can't do it now, but there's like a whole pidgin you
like
can
a dialect,
do.
Yeah, yeah.
A total dialect.
Whoa.
And then I learned Malay, and then I was totally assimilated and there was no problem. But at first it was like, oh no, I'm so lonely.
Yeah.
But it must be easier, I think, as a kid sometimes than as an adult.
I think so.
Or, you know, I guess there are challenges to both, but.
No, totally. Because people used to say, how'd you feel about going? I was like 3 years old. You know, what are you going to say? Mom, I'm renting an apartment? No. That's not happening.
I'm out.
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll stay here.
For those of you joining us, we're talking to Lucy Butler. Now, you're an actress and you're into travel as well.
Yes.
So, we'll get to that in just a moment. I just kind of wanted to introduce you, but I'm kind of fascinated with your growing up and stuff. So then, you grew up in the 60s.
I grew
pretty
up in
much.
The 60s, yeah.
Yeah, me too. You know, I mean, I'm a 60s, 70s child,
nice.
You know. I mean, I was like in Vegas, living in Vegas in 1976.
Damn.
Imagine that.
I can't.
You know,
so much Gold LeMay.
Yeah, music from the Eagles and, you know, and Doobie Brothers and then... And and a lot of getting high too. I have to add that every time
There's
I talk about
it. There's a theme to the show, Sam.
Yeah, there is, and the theme is it's
Don't
me.
It.
I'm the constant here. But no, I find it funny, and I like to share it because I feel it's been a nice friend for me since I was 18 years old. So that's how long I've been smoking marijuana.
Nice.
But yeah. But at any rate, I thought I had to insert that because we're talking about 60s, 70s. Mm-hmm. That's what was going on at the time.
Oh, yeah. And I was in San Francisco. So you have the Vietnam War. You have Mario Savio and the free speech movement.
Yeah.
The
Grateful
right
Dead.
Here in Haight-Ashbury.
Yeah. You're at the center of it.
We're at the center.
Yeah.
So I used to dress up to go down. I would wear my, you know, cute, like, appropriate dresses. And then we would sort of, you know, go in costume and go to the Haight.
Oh, nice.
Put braids, put beads, because you wanted to look cool and fit in.
Fashion was a big part of that cultural movement.
Ooh,
absolutely.
Yeah, and so was music. I mean, you know, Jefferson Airplane and, like I said, Grateful Dead, right? A lot of people came from the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that... that, you know, all that music and everything comes out of there, you know, and that's what, like you said, San Francisco is a small place, yet a lot of creativity comes out of there.
No, it's a fulcrum. It's really amazing that way.
Right? The creativity and then the technology that they have in Silicon Valley and everything. It's a very, I think, creative, productive part of the world, really.
I always think San Francisco is like what America could be, like a good microcosm of what it great could be, like a great technological melting pot.
It is
creativity and open mind,
and it's amazing.
Tolerant,
it's a lot like Boston
because
you have the Boston Brahmins, you've got San Francisco Old World Society mixed with incredible gay population, and then Silicon Valley, and so this weird combo, right?
It was so American. I love
that.
Yeah. And there you go. You know, and actually, my son is going to school up there now,
really?
So it's
Where's
kind of
going?
Ironic. no fancy school. He's going to San Francisco State, I guess.
Yeah, so. But that's a great school.
Yeah, no,
don't
I know.
Apologize, but Sam. That's a great school.
Yeah. Oh, no, I would never apologize. I'm very proud of him. I mean, he's taking biochemistry.
Dang.
I mean, imagine that.
Oh, a big dummy.
We're
going
to have a scientist in the family. I don't even know what the hell that means.
You can grow your pot.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
there we go.
There you go. And I told him, I said he could start in something like Breaking Bad or something.
Absolutely.
You know? And create. Wasn't that guy a
that's
chemist
what I call
or
great
something?
Great parental advice.
It's totally.
There you go.
It can't
you know?
Get better than this.
I know. Well, he's the one that came to me one day and said, "Dad, I smoke pot." So I said, "Oh well, I guess I do too."
He's not sure if he remembers.
But no, he's 23 now, so we're good.
Good.
You know, he's yeah. So he knows what he's doing. But
at 23, if you know what you're doing, oh my God, much better than I did.
Yeah. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Exactly. Actually, you're right. Hello. He doesn't have any friggin' idea what the hell he's doing. I mean, you know, I'm really questioning their judgment. My daughter's 26, and I don't know. They sort of like haven't grown up as quickly as I would have liked them.
That's
to.
The millennial generation.
Yes,
is
like,
it really?
Didn't want to say it. Didn't
really?
Want to say it.
I said it.
Wow.
My dad kicked me out when I was 17. He said, "Don't come back till you have a job." And so I went down. I was at the bus stop, and I was like, "Oh, there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'll ask them." And I was back in an hour. He said, "Do you have a job?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're kidding."
Wow.
He said, "No, I got a job at Kentucky Fried Chicken." He said, "How'd you do that?" I said, "I was waiting for the bus. I went in."
That's amazing.
So you see, you did
That's
what you had to do, right, to survive.
Exactly.
And these
it's
kids
called KFC.
Won't.
That's what it is.
And these kids won't, you know. They'll just kind of like stay young, you know. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on. But at any rate, that's how I feel about my kids. So you're right. He doesn't know shit about what he's doing.
Well, I'm sure glad I pointed that out for family unity, right?
Exactly.
Bringing them together.
But, yeah. But at any rate, Lucy, so... And then did you decide you move here or did you move somewhere else? Before?
I moved to Chicago first, and that was in the great years of Chicago theater.
Which like, you were in.
Yeah.
You sell clothes and all this?
I was in Second City, which was amazing and terrifying at the same time. I mean, Robin Williams would stop by, Albert Brooks would stop by, Jim Belushi would stop by. Talk about the 60s and 70s.
Yeah,
you know?
Right?
So I've seen those guys up close and personal, and I was so young, and it was like super exciting, but it's also like, oh my God, they're gods.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the middle of that.
Oh,
yeah,
totally.
Whoa. Zeus to your
Dan
left.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. Dan
I mean,
Aces
it was like, whoa.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, very good. So you were fortunate enough to
I was so
to go
lucky.
Through that.
I was so lucky.
So, but how did you? How did it occur to you to move to Chicago?
Oh, it was the worst answer possible. And you know what that's going to be? I'm looking at Tori.
Is it a man?
It's a
man.
A guy. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's probably what it is.
So
nine times out of ten, right?
And should we all raise our hands and guess how I got back to California?
Another man.
Oh, my God.
You're talking to somebody who's a non-feminist.
Oh, my God.
The news is bad. I had to admit it. But, you know, it's also very convenient. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You made your way. You blazed the trail.
I did.
There you go. Okay, so you were there for a while, and then how did you end up here?
Yeah, I was there for 7 years.
7 years in
Chicago.
Yeah,
well, we know how I ended up here. But I was actually really looking for, quote-unquote, an excuse to come back, because my whole family's from here. They're from San Diego. They're from San Francisco. And my grandmothers were getting older, and I came out to see one of them, and I was crying as I left. And I was like, no, you've got to come home.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be with them. They're in their 80s, and then there was the guy, and it was a perfect way to come back.
Yeah.
There you go.
The perfect storm for you to return.
Absolutely. Perfect storm. That's a perfect way to put it. Yeah.
And George Clooney was the guy.
Oh, yes, I wish.
Me too.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be a great story, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I did it for Clooney.
And everybody would say, well, of course
you did. Of course
you
did. Yeah, right. Gloria Steinem, of course you did.
Exactly.
Of course you
Thank
did.
You.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. A lot has happened. I mean, you know, the 60s were transformative, I think, in so many ways.
So many ways.
You know, in so many ways. And then the 70s, to me, it's like music and pop culture was like the thing, you know? Disco came out later.
Disco.
You know, I mean, it was the generation of all the greats, you know?
Well, and when I think of the 70s, I think, and Tori reminded me of it, with Oliver North and everything else, I think of the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually in D.C. then. My dad was in the government. And, boy, that was so omnipresent.
Yeah. And 68, the whole thing was 68 when Martin Luther King died, assassinated, RFK was assassinated. It's like the world was falling apart, and yet the young generation was holding it up. And now this generation... I love them, but man, they're just
Yeah,
they like to hang out, right? And Netflix and chill. Yeah, you know what I mean. I do too. I'm just saying, it's a different generation.
Yeah,
they wear the same boho clothes are in, but not sort of the political activism.
No. I think they're really like detached from what's going on in the world. You
and
know?
Maybe that's because so many terrible things are going on.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, you got to face
that could
them.
Be.
Yeah.
That could be. It's the same reason you watch a lot of movies in the late 30s and early 40s, right?
Right.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, having been a parent of kids from this generation, I can tell you that. We try to instill in them, I felt that I did, try to instill in them the values, but they grew up with everything. I think a lot of people parented by guilt.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Mm-hmm. And because I would see friends and stuff, and sometimes I would catch myself too. I would like, you know, maybe I should do this for them. Maybe I can do this for them because I didn't have it before, or I couldn't have it when I was young, and I can give it to them. It's not a big deal. But I think we spoiled them mm-hmm. that way.
I would call it parenting by reaction. I didn't have this. And I find this doing the same thing because now I'm like, oh, this dress would be so cute on you. But shouldn't be giving them the dress mm-hmm, so much,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think technology now with the attention span, I can't go look, there's something else there. You know what mm-hmm, I mean? I'm in like, mm-hmm. a mosquito's interesting to me within 5 seconds. So there's no depth to anything anymore. It's very, and when you want it, you get it now. There's so much concierge service. If I want like a root beer float, I can get it in 10 minutes.
Right.
With vodka, obviously.
Yeah.
Not an idiot.
Oh my God, Tori. That sounds so
Doesn't
great.
Doesn't that sound
that
delicious?
Sounds amazing.
Absolutely.
I'm onto something.
Wow. So, okay, so it was acting, though, that you decided to go with.
Yeah.
Obviously. Chicago, I would also imagine you probably couldn't stand the cold, huh?
Well, you know, I can.
Really?
But here's the clue. It's another really bad clue. And sorry, people from California. Everybody in Chicago wears fur. You need to look like a bear.
Mm-hmm.
You need to look like a bear. And you're completely covered up. So you wear huge puffy coats. Mm-hmm. You wear fur hats. You look like somebody who just came out of the gulag in Siberia.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like the Revenant. You're wearing like venison carcasses.
It's like the Revenant, but
I went
you're
to
not
Michigan.
Crawling.
Absolutely. There's no bear issues either.
So there's no like walking on the sidewalk and checking people out
you
and all that
faces.
Stuff. You don't see anybody.
No. You don't see faces. You see maybe boots and maybe the top of something.
I cried so much in Michigan because I hadn't recognized a single person because everyone was covered that I cried. And I'm like, well, this is pretty low. And then my tear froze and I wiped it and I ripped my cornea. I'm like, no, now this
is
low.
Oh, my God.
Terrible.
Oh, my God.
But you don't see
That's
anybody.
A sign. Yeah.
It is a sign. I went to Italy right after.
Yeah. Too much information. I'm going to...
So sad.
Yeah, I'm like,
no, but the winners
get
are tough.
Nauseous and stuff. No, but that's funny. But yeah, I did want to ask you about Italy. Forgive me for Lucy, for just a second.
Please.
But were you there during the time of Amanda Knox?
Yes,
in Italy,
yes,
really
in Perugia, and my father was part of the.
You were in Perugia.
I was in Florence, and she was at studying
she
in,
was
Perugia.
In Perugia.
Yeah, and my dad's firm helped represent Amanda Knox too. So she, I was all
weird.
Over that. It was very strange, and it was very the Italian justice system is sort of like dun da 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 da.
It's
I mean,
pretty
it's
wacky.
Just like a circus out there.
Yeah, I know. I must have read about 3 or 4 books on that.
Fascinating
and fascinating stuff,
yeah.
You know. But I thought, what a pain. I mean, not a pain, but I mean, what. An unfortunate way to fall into something, you know, because I believe she's innocent.
I do too.
Right?
They said the blood on the knife turned out to be a piece of rye bread.
Really?
Yeah,
how can
it was
rye
a pumpernickel.
Bread mimic blood?
It looked like, I guess they
not
didn't
even
test.
The same color.
I know. I mean, it was just a joke.
The knife
just
in his kitchen.
Yeah.
The knife in
the
his
knife,
kitchen.
Yeah, and then so when she was brought back to the United States, I went up to my dad and I'm like, make sure she doesn't get brought back. And he's
right.
like, thanks for the advice, Tori. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. We're pretty good on top of that.
Yeah. Glad you got your law degree, Tori.
Yeah.
It's like, I think we got it handled. But she's.
But I mean, just think how. I don't know. It's like so close. You just go to a foreign country. You don't know what's going on. Suddenly mm-hmm. something happened. Bam, you're in jail.
You're out.
You know?
And luckily, she spoke fluent Italian.
Yeah.
Because if you were a newbie, I was just learning Italian, she at least could understand something of the charges being brought. I mean, if you couldn't understand it,
it's scary,
crazy,
huh?
Crazy.
It's scary enough if you understand the language. Imagine when you don't.
Exactly.
Wow. So anyway, maybe they did do a movie on that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a mini series? No, just a movie. But, yeah, I don't know. I was just fascinated with it.
And she's been a big part of the, you know, falsely imprisoned exoneration movement. She's really fought for that because she was falsely,
for her.
Absolutely. So she's taken a more political stand than I thought she would, which is great.
Yeah.
Because even if it's a different country, it's still.
So she's totally taken this horrible experience and turned it into something positive.
Yeah, she wrote a book. She's going to have she's going to get deals from it and some money, but she's going to use it, I think, towards something. She's very smart.
Yeah.
This woman is a smart chick, fluent. I mean, she's very smart. So I think she's going to use it for good, which is what we've seen so far.
Yeah, yeah. Well, very interesting.
I don't think she'll be going back to Italy.
Not soon. Not soon. She's going to Hawaii, that girl.
Yeah, she is.
And then didn't they try and they found her guilty again?
Yeah,
and then
they tried to bring her back
again, right?
And I said, "Dad, don't let her go." He's like, "Yeah, okay, good advice."
Yeah, stay right where you are.
Hey,
you know, don't leave this
country.
I don't know who run the world.
Yeah, but definitely stay in this country. This is where it's safe, man. This is where it's safe. I love living here. You know, I've lived here for 40 years. I celebrated 40 years in this country this month.
Mazel.
And thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Toda. So I grew up in Israel, but at 16 I came here. So I've lived here for 40 years. This is my home. When I go there, it's kind of strange for me to go there. Because you sort of like expect, hey, these are the people I grew up with. These are my people. And yet they seem strange to me. Because I'm American, you know? So that's how it works out sometimes, you know? But, you know, what
Well,
can
I think
you say?
We've heard that on the news, too, with the cons speaking at the DNC. Mm-hmm. They're American. Mm-hmm. That's how they identify.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And it's insulting to say they are otherwise, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, that whole thing, I think, was an ambush, but what do I know? You know, but we'll leave the politics for another day because Lucy is the star of the show today. Lucy Butler, the press release starts, Lucy Butler is a dichotomy of riches. So let's get to that and find out. So we found out about the acting part.
Right.
That were you able to, when you moved to L.A., do you remember what year it was?
I do. It was 1987.
Oh, okay. So it was pre-internet, pre-everything.
Pre-everything.
Yeah. Mm. Pre-everything pretty much. I remember I had moved here in 1981. So you've seen L.A., right?
I
mean, you've seen L.A. I was thinking what happened in 84. We had the Olympics here in L.A., but you weren't here at the time, right?
No,
you hadn't moved yet. Wow.
I was here for the earthquake.
And the
riot. Yeah, the earthquake in 94.
And I was here for the riots, too, and I was actually flying in, and it was terrifying because, you know, when you fly into L.A., you always fly in facing the ocean.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And the smoke was so bad, I flew in over the ocean facing the city, and I remember I was so impacted by that. And then when I got out, for some reason, I had no gas in my car, and my dad was, you have to get gas right away. And all the gas stations were like people lined up like it was Armageddon or something. And it was so impactful and so sad. And at the time, I was working at a children's center in Vermont, New Hampshire. And I would go there every Friday to work with the kids. And these are all kids who had been sexually abused, taken away from their parents, etc. And the caregivers came to me a month later and they said, we were praying you wouldn't come down. We didn't think you would make it through. Because it was right at the heart of the conflict.
I mean, that was intense.
Very intense. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you came here for the acting and stuff. And so were you able to find something right away?
I actually was. I got incredibly lucky. Yeah, wow. I actually was. Yeah, knock on wood. I'm not going to do it because we're on radio. But I actually got the best job ever. I did the opening season of the Pasadena Playhouse, which is, you know, have you guys been there?
Mm-hmm.
It's so gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
And it's so much history and all this tile. And so here I was at Pasadena Playhouse acting with, you know, John Astin and Joyce Van Patten and all these amazing people.
Wow.
And I was like, I am the luckiest girl.
That is very lucky.
It's extremely lucky.
Yeah. But you must have also felt, I mean, you were obviously talented to get that gig, right?
Well, I guess so.
Yeah, you have to be. I mean, like, what is it?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I got lucky. You know, but
yeah.
You're
being modest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're being modest. It's more than luck, though. So that was the start of your run here in L.A.
Yeah.
And were you able to get other things after that and stuff?
Yes, I was. And one of my absolute favorite projects was around that same time. I did a film for the famous iconic director David Lynch.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And the super cool thing is, which I know women out there and everybody's going to love, is the episode that was on last night of the show I'm on, The Last Ship, was directed by his daughter.
Wow.
So I was like, sort of like in tears.
Book ending.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, I started out here with David and now it's his daughter.
How was his daughter at directing?
She is so excited all the time. She is like such a geek. She's like, that was awesome. That was rock. Swear word, swear word, swear word. That is
epic. I picture David Lynch's daughter like super weird, right? Like
she's a cheerleader.
Oh, that's hilarious.
No. She's a cheerleader with dreadlocks.
Okay, cool. Got it.
Okay,
totally.
Really,
and amazing clothes.
Yeah.
But she's like, you rock
they
my
gotta
world.
You got to be a little eccentric there.
Yeah,
you know?
Right?
I mean, yeah. But it's but they were filming the new Twin Peaks recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to come out. I'm looking forward to that.
Me
you
too.
Know?
I was a total fan of that show.
Right. I mean, some of his movies I couldn't get into, but Twin Peaks, I had to watch it.
See, that's when you take an edible.
Yeah, right?
For the David Lynch.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, not on the plane.
No.
Not on the plane. Don't ever
Mulholland
do that,
Drive,
folks.
Yes.
Twin Peaks, and then you
and
sit
I
at
consider
home.
Myself hardcore, okay? So, guys, don't do that.
No 35,000 feet with
muscles. Not if you're not quite comfortable with flying
That's
anymore
right.
like I am. And imagine, I mean, I took like flying lessons. I was only a few hours of flight away from getting my license.
Wow.
What did you finish?
I'd already done like cross country and almost killed myself doing stalls and doing a spin towards the earth.
Good Lord. Why did you get scared? Was there something that happened?
No, but I mean, I was, well, this part where I was spinning, I got into a spin, and I was heading toward the earth.
Right.
I started at about 12,000 feet
that
or something.
That doesn't sound good.
No.
This is a bad story,
but,
I can tell.
I know, but I told it a million times. I'm so tired of telling it, but it was just so profound because I felt like I was going to die.
Wow. Of course.
And then I remembered what the instructor had shown me before, because he had put me in a position like that before where we went to a spin, so I know how to come out
That's
of it.
That's a good instructor.
Yeah.
I'm impressed you stayed calm.
But I don't think I would have gotten into the spin in the first place had he not done that, because the point is to stall the plane and come out of it, but not go into a spin.
Right.
So when you overdo it, you go into a spin. Right. So, but luckily, somehow, I remembered how to come out of it. And you have to remember something. The steering wheel, that doesn't work when you're going down vertically like that, you know? So
you're still losing me on that.
So, yeah. So make it short, I pulled out of it and I'm alive today, you know? But maybe that kind of left a scar.
Maybe. You think, Sam? I think that,
that's a pretty big scar.
I'm surprised you got on a plane at all.
Yeah.
I know. But I'm just thinking, you know what I'm thinking is the type of death it would be if you sort of like the plane just starts going down. It's like you obviously know you're going to die now and you have time to think about it.
Yeah,
but then I'm thinking, but what are you dreading? I mean, but you're not going to deal with it in a few seconds, you know?
I'd be worried about
so you're scared, you die, but it's done.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's
you
just like the archetypal fear of falling.
Right.
It's just like Jungian type of fear of just falling is terrifying.
Like taking a jump off a cliff.
Yeah. Or the high dive, which I have a big issue with.
Yeah.
I don't even like watching the Olympics when they high dive. Too high. Mm.
Yeah.
Too high, but really fascinating.
It's like I know. Watching the ice skaters.
Some people
they fall.
Do go. Oh, some people do love jumping off planes.
Yeah,
I don't
the
get
adrenaline
it.
Rush.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Did you see that thing on TV or at least on Facebook where this guy
jumped with that with a net,
with
no parachute?
With a net. He did like a free fall all the way down without a parachute, and they had cranes holding a net, and he fell into the net and that stopped. So
it's like the crazy
that.
Guys who ski straight downhill off a cliff and then they parachute.
Yeah, right.
And then they go up and do it again. Like once isn't enough.
Wow. You know that I had on my show, he was just on the phone, a phone guest, but I can't remember his name. He had a dog and he made the dog famous with him because what he did, he was like totally into extreme sports. So he would climb mountains, but further than that, he would use wingsuits.
Mm-hmm.
You know those are wingsuits?
Yeah, like big squirrel
things. Yeah. And take his dog with him.
Oh, that's lovely.
And then,
I'm sure the dog loved it.
Yeah, well, he claimed it did.
I wonder?
He claimed it did, but people felt it was animal abuse.
Yeah.
So it was controversial.
Yeah, I could see that.
So we talked to him and everything, and a few months later, He died doing that. What he
was his
to
dog
do.
With him?
No.
Not May He Rest, but
the
was
dog
his dog
wasn't
good?
His.
Okay, thank God.
The
I
dog
mean,
wasn't
rest.
With him. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And his friend too. They were both doing that.
Oh man.
Doing what they love to do. But I mean, you wonder how many times can you really cheat death with a wingsuit, for crying out loud?
It's crazy.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Lucy, I want to focus a little bit. So we covered the acting and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're also into travel.
Yes.
You're on a hit show, The Last Ship, Michael Bay's. Wow, I'm impressed.
Michael Bay.
So tell us what's The Last Ship about?
It's about a ship that carries the virus because there's a huge, virus going on Earth. So it carries the antivirus. It's out on they're on the ship. And they're actually disseminating the virus, the antivirus, the serum right now that will, you know, correct it to all of Asia right now. But in the meantime, of course, you've lost 80% of the United States. So it's almost like, I wouldn't say a civil war, but everything's completely disrupted. The White House has moved to St. Louis. You have five regional governors.
So kind of like what they call a dystopian,
exactly.
Right? Story.
But
where
right, going on right now. Going on right now.
Oh, it's
not
present time. I
it's
see.
Present
okay.
time, so we don't have funny outfits on.
Wow.
Right.
So you play a politician.
I play a politician. Yeah.
Do you do an accent on the show?
I sure do. I talk like this.
That is good.
Because I spent a lot of time in Texas, so I talk like this, and I don't move my mouth too much.
Right. Your face goes still.
Because I'm one powerful woman. I don't need to move my mouth too much.
That's good.
I don't
good.
Need to work too hard because I got a lot of people working for me. You know what I'm
saying?
Wow. That's
great. So is that the character that you play?
Yes. I play kind of a combo, I would say.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of Carly Fiorina.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't move her face a lot either. I thought it was Botox. But she doesn't use her face a lot.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, she's very just here. I do not move my forehead.
So it's great casting for you because you were able to put on that face.
Well, I just sort of channeled it because I've spent so much time in Texas, and I'm actually a huge fan because I've spent a lot of time in Austin, and I have relatives there, and I love the people in Texas. So it was a thrill for me to get to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's also a thrill to get to play in this year of, I would call it, the female,
yes.
to get to play a female politician. Plus, the show has all these women on it in really high roles. We have translators and radar people and helicopter pilots. It's completely unpredictable.
Wow.
Chief of staff, deputy chief of staff. It's not just like, oh, it's a guy's show, things blow up.
Right. I was gonna say, when I think Michael Bay, I'm like,
exactly.
Did you meet him and something blew up behind you? Like, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Exactly.
Have you met Michael Bay?
Never.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, what he must be like.
Because he's probably the producer, not the director.
He's executive producer.
Executive producer, sorry.
Yeah.
Even more removed from the movie.
Exactly.
So to speak.
And on my episode, we had a female writer and a female director.
How
so
cool is that?
It's really interesting that on a quote-unquote male show, it is very female-driven. So that kind of rocks my world.
That's
I love
fantastic.
That.
Sure, yeah, and it's fresh. And
it's fresh,
you
it's
know,
different.
Yeah.
And also the show has been running 3 years. It just got renewed for a fourth season.
I saw that.
Yeah, So it's still like people are super excited, and when you get to work, everybody's like, come on, and how do you want to look, and let's design your hairdo, because I had big old hair.
I was going to say, you have Texas hair.
I, the bigger
flammable.
The hair, the closer to God.
That's right. The bigger the hair, the closer to God.
Texas hair.
I'm in LA squishing my hair down.
Oh, and we're straightening. We're pulling it down so it can look groovy. And I've got big brooches. How long have you been since you've heard that word?
Brooch.
Brooches.
I used to call it brooch until someone told me I was an idiot. It's a brooch.
It's a brooch.
And a lot of suits, pantsuits.
Oh, I'm actually in a lot of suits, but a lot of skirts.
Oh, okay.
A lot of suits.
Okay.
A lot of suits. A lot of high heels. Long time since I've worn a pair of pantyhose.
So now, have you been on the show since the beginning of it? Or?
No, I actually joined the show around the fifth episode this year, season 3. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, you'll probably stay on for a while. I mean, you seem like you got the role down, you know? Wow, very cool. Lucy Butler, an actress. Let's also talk about travel for a few minutes.
Please.
Actually, this is funny. It says here a cross between Hillary Clinton and Carly Fiorina.
I love that.
Wow.
I threw in a little Ann Richards.
I was going to say, you got to get Ann Richards in there, right?
Democratic. Actually, was she Democratic
she
governor?
She was.
Yeah, Democratic governor from Texas. I mean, she's, what a killer personality she is.
She's my spirit animal.
Go for it.
Yeah, wow. So the show currently airing TNT, right?
Sunday nights.
At 9 p.m. Is that 9 p.m. Pacific, Eastern? What is it?
Pacific.
Okay, so you guys can watch that. So that would be midnight in the East. Can that be? Maybe it's not live, right? It's not a live show, right? It's recorded, so it would be Eastern.
So yeah. It's East and Pacific.
Eastern and Pacific, yeah. Sure, yeah, that's what I think. That's probably why they didn't even write it down, because then we have Mountain and Central also, mm-hmm. probably same time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. So, yeah, travel. I mean, we don't have that much time. We have about 7-8 minutes, but we'll cover some of the travel. And so you consider yourself a concierge travel expert. Is that what it is, if I
yes.
remember correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, you can call
Tell
me
us
if you
what
want.
That is.
Okay, so if you want a hotel in Hawaii, you know, anybody
I do
can
want a hotel in Hawaii.
Who doesn't? Tell me about it.
Yeah.
But I can book that. But what I really do is you come to me, you're having a honeymoon, you want something special. I just had a 25th anniversary couple. They wanted to renew their vows at a private chapel in Tuscany. Ugh. They wanted a day of wine tasting. Ugh. They wanted to do the gondola ride throughout Venice.
Like a curated...
Curated. What do you
yeah.
do?
Specific
what is Tori
trip,
love?
That's right.
Like, Tori is a museum lover, okay?
Yeah.
Right.
So I would send Tori to the Vasari Corridor.
Mm.
And the Vasari Corridor is the private part of the Uffizi Museum that, that Lorenzo de' Medici took over... to go to his palace on the other side, and it is not open to the public, and it's all self-portraits. Now, most people aren't
wow.
going to give a darn.
Yeah. No.
Most people are going to be like, well, I don't want to see a lot of pictures of blah, blah,
no,
blah.
That'd
be
fascinating.
It costs me a lot of money.
Yeah, but if you like
if
it,
you like it,
she's that's your destination.
She's going to want to do that, and I would send her to the private churches in Rome, the churches that have the Caravaggios in them that, you know, you put €1 in.
And then it blinks for a little.
And it blinks yeah. like the French church. And there's some great church with some amazing sculptures in them. And, you know, most people don't care about that. They want a little shopping. They
yeah.
want a little museum. You know, and often I say, and I know this is heretical to say, don't go to the friggin' Uffizi.
If you don't
love it.
Takes
an hour and a
right.
half. You know, and it's a lot of Madonnas. If you're not into it, go see the David and the Slaves. Call it a day. Have a nice lunch.
Totally. Have a cappuccino.
Have a cappuccino. There
you go.
Enjoy
yourself.
Yeah, totally.
So now let me ask you this. So you've obviously been to these places.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean... So you've been to a lot of places.
Yes.
To be able to be like a travel
yeah.
Maven, if you will. You know why I said that? Because my neighbor's license plate says Travel Maven.
Oh, that's cool.
And she's just a very sweet old lady, okay?
Cool.
It's
good
not
for
like
her.
She's famous or anybody, yeah. anything.
My neighbor's car says McLovin.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, dude. But so that's why I was saying that.
Yeah,
but because
yeah.
I keep, every day I go there and I'm thinking, Travel Maven. But anyway, so you've been quite in many, many places. Have you been on all continents, would you say?
I have not been to South America, and that's coming up next year.
Where are you going?
Wow, cool.
We're either going to go to Peru or Brazil.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you worried about the Olympics in Rio?
Starting Friday, by the way.
Yes.
Starting Friday. You know, I have to say, I was really worried about the Olympics in Athens.
Oh, okay.
And it worked really, really well.
Okay.
So I'm kind of thinking, what do I know?
Oh.
Maybe Rio's going to go.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Maybe Rio's going to be awesome.
What's your favorite place you've ever been or traveled to?
Well, it depends on what mood I'm in.
Mm.
You know, you cannot beat Paris, right?
Yeah,
as Audrey Hepburn says, Paris is always a good idea. And I love Paris in the winter because it's cheap mm-hmm. and nobody's around. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm just like... exhausted, and I just want to chill out. Can't beat Hawaii.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Can't beat Hawaii.
I know, and that's where I want to go. You know, I mean, there's a million tropical mm-hmm. places, but there's no... Because Hawaii is part of America, mm-hmm. so you still get all the conveniences,
absolutely.
You know?
I got Maui'd and went to Maui for my honeymoon.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just so I could say that.
You know, you got the freedom to do whatever you want to do. You don't have to worry about the laws. Maybe I don't know this law, that law. What am I doing wrong? You know, be stuck in Italy like that, mm-hmm. Like Amanda Knox or something. So I'd rather stay in Hawaii. Stay close to home. But yet, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different trip.
You know,
right?
My parents are traveling to Portugal with me next in September.
Oh, very
and
cool.
What was funny is for the first time we had to think of what was the safest country in Europe, which was interesting because when I went to Italy,
Scandinavia is right up there.
Yeah, like
Iceland.
You have to be careful. Our friend was the ambassador to Belgium, and like that's out.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
what I mean. So you have to think safety is one of the first things you think about now with vacations.
It is. I just got back actually from Croatia and Slovenia. And Slovenia is not on everybody's radar. And I didn't even know where it was. It's, you know,
right.
part of former Yugoslavia. Absolutely fantastic. imagine Austria with the Italian food.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Wow. Croatia's hot too. Right,
Croatia's
now.
Uber hot. It's a little bit of a problem this summer because it can get super busy.
Yeah, it's very popular now.
Mm-hmm, very popular.
Okay, cool. Well, we could talk about this for many shows, but we're out of time. Lucy Butler, tell people where they can find you. Are you like available for people who want to plan trips and
Absolutely.
Things like that? How can people find out more?
It's whereonearthtravel.com.
Whereonearthtravel.com. That's why I never tried to give the domains, because I always screw them up.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
That's
an awesome domain. I love it.
Thank you.
I love it. It's a little long. I mean,
it's very long.
Yeah.
And when I give it to people, they're like, could that be longer?
That's a good one. Where on Earth. It's very memorable. Yeah.
Whereonearthtravel.com. And there's contact information and everything for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can check it out. Do you have any pictures, videos from your trips, things like that?
Really? I go on to the blog because I have a lot about Slovenia right now on the blog.
Okay.
And a couple things about Croatia. What many people don't know is Croatia is sort of almost comparable, I hate to say it, to Napa in terms of food and wine tasting in Slovenia, too. It's like a really strong food movement.
Wow.
And the slow food movement, which you probably know about from Italy, where people like take pride in growing their own food and bringing it to the table.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Awesome. Lucy, thank you so much for joining us.
So much fun.
You're awesome. Thanks for making it all possible. and also you. Thank you so much for being the audience here. They always bring fun people here, like I said before. So, Lucy, thanks again.
My pleasure.
Always welcome back. We can talk more about travel and everything.
Love to do it.
Awesome. And much success to you. Continued success with the TV show.
Yeah, I'm
I'll be
excited.
Tuning in.
Thank you, Tori.
Hear that accent.
Yeah. Tori, you're amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me.
It was amazing being here, everyone.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.